Good morning, everyone. You know, Pastor was talking about earlier this morning about us going through trials and tribulations and troubles. But you know what? We got an anchor that we have to hold on to. And we got to hold on with all our strength. So I tell you this morning to be strong in the Lord and to be in good courage. Your defender is He who is always the same. Mount up with wings as the eagle ascending. Victory is sure when you call on His name. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord and be of good courage, for He is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Trust Him and He will be with you in battle, lighting your path to avoid every snare. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord and be of good courage, for He is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Your mighty commander will vanquish your foe. Fear not the battle, for the victory is always His. He will protect you wherever you go. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord and be of good courage, for He is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord and rejoice, for the victory is yours. And rejoice, for the victory is yours. Now be strong.
I would like to know when Brother Roger, when you and Jackie are going to sing again. Are you working up something? Or do you need to? I want an answer. Well, you talk to Jackie about it. Get your heads together and sing another song for us.
Yeah, I'm just sing now. Doesn't the Lord say, be ready at all times to speak
it out? Yeah, I know. I wouldn't put him on the spot like that. Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. Let's go down to verse 29. Where the scripture says that it came to pass when He, that's Jesus, was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives. That's out on the east of Jerusalem, you know. He's coming into the city, and He comes over the Mount of Olives, down the mount, across the brook Kidron, into the city of Jerusalem. Okay? That's His destination. So He's now at Bethany. Bethany is the place where Lazarus, Martha, and Mary lived. Jesus spent a lot of time there with them, you know, staying in their home. So he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat." No one's ever ridden this colt. "Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Then shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, this colt, the foal of an ass, that had never been ridden before. They brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt," kind of made a saddle for him, you know, "and they set Jesus thereon." He's sitting on a colt that is not broke to be ride, to be rode. He never had a man on his back before. And now Jesus is going to ride him. "And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." One Sunday morning in the summer of 1957, I had just preached one of my brilliant sermons to the congregation of the Calvary Baptist Church that I was pastoring in Fort Stockton, Texas. After the service, one of the guys in the congregation came up to me. His name was Jimmy Zarephanidis. He was a Greek guy, Zarephanidis, very Greek. Anyway, he said to me, "Pastor, I'm going out to a local ranch this afternoon to look at a horse that I'm thinking about buying. Would you like to go with me?" Naturally, I said, "Sure, I'd like to go." So after lunch, he and I drove in his car out to the ranch. There on that dry, dusty plain of West Texas, we knocked on the door of the house, and the rancher was still inside eating his lunch. He said, "You boys make yourself at home. I'll be out just a little while." So as we were waiting, we walked over to a new barbed wire corral that had been built out there. And inside this corral was a little burro, a colt, the foal of an ass, like Jesus rode into Jerusalem on. Just a little guy. Cute as a bug's ear. This one had been caught down in the Big Bend National Park. It wasn't too far away from Fort Stockton. And they brought him up there to the ranch. He had a halter on his head with a rope tied to it. Well, when we crawled into the corral, he ran over here to a neutral corner, but he was dragging this long rope, so we just went out there and caught a hold of the rope, you know, and held him and pulled ourselves up to him. You see, burros still run wild in that part of the country. This little fella hadn't seen very many people in his time. And he was scared and wild as a jackrabbit. So we pulled him up to us and we rubbed on him and patted on him for a little while. And then old Jimmy pops up and says, "Preacher, I'll bet you can't ride him." Now, he said it kind of like a dare. You know what I mean? At least that's the way I took it. And me and my macho pride says, "Sure I can." We pulled him out into the middle of that corral. Jimmy held him, and I climbed a straddle of him. He was so little that my feet touched the ground on both sides of him, and I could wrap my legs together like that and lock my feet together under his little belly. I felt safe and secure. So here I am aboard this wild burro in my preaching clothes, tie, white shirt and all, shiny shoes. Well, you got to remember that burro had never had anything on his back before. I was the first. And like Jesus, I was sitting where man had never sat before. Well, I looped my feet together under his belly, ready for a ride. Old Jimmy turned him loose and hollered something at him. And that poor little old burro just kind of hunched up his back. Ooh, he was as hard as steel. You know, all of his muscles were just all so tense. He was probably scared to death. But he didn't move. And then Jimmy hollered something at him and slapped him on the rear end. That's all it took. That little burro took off running. And it was then I had a special revelation. I don't know if it came from God or where it came from. But isn't it interesting that we learn some of our greatest lessons in the most ridiculous places? Now, this was the first barbed wire fence that burro had ever seen. He was used to those wide open spaces out there. He'd been raised in that "don't fence me in" environment. And here he is, running with me on his back, right straight toward that barbed wire fence. and he hit that fence in between two fence posts to where I couldn't grab a hold of a fence post and get off of him. He made a sharp right-hand turn and started running down that fence without signaling. Now I want it off. At rodeos, they have a guy that blows a whistle. But there wasn't nobody out there blowing no whistle for me. I sort of felt like Absalom. Remember, Absalom was on his mule and he was running through the woods. He had long hair and his hair got caught in the branches of a big old tree that mule ran under, and the mule ran out from under him and left him hanging up here in the tree by the hairs of his head. He couldn't get loose. I felt like him. Well, I fell downward along all five strands of that barbed wire fence. You see, I couldn't fall out into the corral because I couldn't clear my left leg from the fence. I couldn't fall off behind him because he was going forward and his back end is up. He was bucking, you know. And I couldn't fall off in front of him because he had his head down like that, and the momentum kept me from falling forwards. The only way I could go was to just shut my eyes and pray, and I fell like this into that barbed wire fence. Five strands stretched as tight as a fiddle string. When I hit the ground, it knocked the breath out of me. And old Jimmy Zarafanita standing out there in the middle of that corral, and he was laughing until his belly hurt. From his point of view, I guess it was funny. But not from mine. I picked myself up. I was slashed, cut, gouged, ripped and torn, and blood was everywhere. I've still got scars of it. My left hand especially was so ripped up, it looked like ground sausage. Well, when Jimmy saw how serious it was, he got me in the car and rushed me to emergency at the local hospital. I spent the next 3 hours getting sewed up. Cost me $35. I thought I was going to lose my left hand, but I didn't. They wrapped it up. I went ahead and preached that evening anyway. Now, what I'd done was a very, very foolish thing, especially for a grown man who's supposed to have some common sense. My body still bears those scars. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So I was still a child. Then the psalmist says, "O God, thou knowest my foolishness." There may be some of you today who are riding the devil's bureau. And he's headed for a barbed wire fence. You're in danger. You may know it and not be able to do anything about it, but you're in the wrong place. Now that bureau today can be drugs, alcohol. Sure, I can take a little drink, it won't hurt me. I can take it or leave it. I can even smoke a stick of marijuana. It's not habit forming. Maybe drop a little acid. How about PCP? They still have that around? Crack, meth, all of these things. I got to thinking in the Bible about people like David. He thought he could ride his burro and get by with it. But he couldn't. Moses rode his burro into God's barbed wire fence. And as a result, he didn't make it into Canaan. God buried him somewhere up in the Nebo Mountains. Jonah rode his burro into the fence in his disobedience out on the waters of the Mediterranean Sea and wound up in the whale's belly. Solomon had many wives, but they led him into the barbed wire fence of idolatry and away from God. He couldn't ride his burro either. We could go on and on. You know, today there's lots of people that think that they have the devil by the tail. But we know who has who by the tail, don't we? He's stronger than we are. We need God's help. Sometimes we get ourselves into an awful mess. I can remember back, this is going back a long time. I was about 16 years old. I didn't have much sense. Me and my mama got in an argument. And at 16, I thought I was too big to take a whipping from my mama. She came at me and I grabbed hold of her. Don't ever do that. I wasn't mad at her, but she was mad at me. I grabbed hold of her. I was behind her. I was holding her like this. I was holding her arms to the side, and she was struggling to get loose. And her mouth was busy while she was trying to get loose. And what she was saying was like, "We're going to have your funeral, boy. You know, just wait till I get loose." Well, that makes you want to hold on tighter. So we were dancing around there in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, I noticed that I was getting pretty close to the screen door let out on the back porch. And whenever I got there close enough to hit that screen door, I kind of turned loose of her and gave her a little shove, and I hit that door and I ran. I ran to the barn. It's a good refuge. Everybody ought to have a barn to run to. I ran to the barn. And I scooted up underneath that barn. She couldn't get under the barn to get to me. And I stayed there under that barn. And she had a stick of stove wood in her hand, and she walked around that for about an hour, daring me to come out. And I found me a corner way back in there, and I stayed. I said, "I'm going to stay here till either I die or Daddy comes home." And I stayed. After a while, she had to do something at the house, so she finally left. I stayed under the barn. And after a while, my daddy came. I was never so glad to see him in all of my life, because he was going to protect me. And he did. By that time, she'd kind of gotten over her mad a little bit. I used to mention that every once in a while to my mother. She lived to be 90 years old, and she remembered that all of her life. And every time she thought about it, she just got mad all over again. She never got over that. I didn't either. Honor your father and your mother. You think a little disobedience is all right? You think God won't notice? I've got some news for you. You're as dumb as I was. And that burro is going to run you into the fence. You act like a smart aleck sometimes. You're a show off that thinks what you're doing is smart. It makes people laugh at your dumb ignorance, but you're getting yourself in trouble. Now let me talk some common sense to you. As Isaiah said, come now and let us reason together. Why do you insist on doing those things that'll only get you in trouble with God? Don't you know that you can't win? You can't outsmart him. You're just going to get yourself into deeper trouble. You can't get by with it. Face the facts. Let's get real for a moment. You can't get by with it. Every transgression has a just recompense of reward. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, you listen to me. Because down in your heart, you know that you've got to confess Jesus Christ and you've got to get right with God. Otherwise, you're going to die and go to hell. That's putting it plain and simple. I think you fully intend to get saved someday. I do. But you keep putting it off and putting it off. And you're walking on the edge of a cliff, one false step, and you fall off into eternity without another chance to get saved. It'll be too late. Like they used to say, you're skating on thin ice. Listen to this preacher. You're going to have to bow your knee to Jesus someday anyway. The Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That's every. Saved and unsaved, believers and unbelievers, every knee shall bow. So why not do it now while you can be saved? If you do it now, he'll save you. Today is the day of salvation. If you wait until it's too late, you've got to do it anyway. But then you can't be saved by doing it. It'll be too late. My advice for you today is just get off that burro that you're riding right now and come to God. Don't wait until you hit the fence. Don't wait until you're in the hospital getting all sewed up. If your heart's not right with God, do something about it and do it now, because you're set on a dangerous course. Listen, death is certain. Hell is a real place of torment, and it's eternity. And eternity is a long, long time. me and God want you to be saved. We want you to be ready to meet God. Don't fear death. If you're a Christian, death is just opening up the door into eternal life for you. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Nothing to fear in death. If you're in Christ, all of your sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. You belong to Him, and He'll be there to welcome you home and invite you into His heavenly home. All you have to do is to accept Him as your personal Savior. Without Him, you can't go, not to heaven. He that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. So you either do or you don't. And the invitation this morning is for those of you who don't know Jesus yet, but you would like to have eternal life. It's a gift that God offers you. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask today that you, through your Holy Spirit, will deal with the hearts and lives of each person present today in this congregation. And we pray that you'll bless this message, even as it's being taped and will go out on the computer, on the website. There may be people all over the country that might just get on that website and hear this message. Lord, we pray that you'll bless it and that you'll touch the hearts of people and bring them to Jesus so that they might have eternal life in Him. Speak now to the hearts of the people in this particular congregation, and we'll give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 540.
Today. Thank you for the attention that you gave to the preaching of God's Word. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to be speaking about a fellow in the Bible by the name of Jonah. Remember him? He's the guy that swallowed the whale. Or something like that. He's associated with a whale in there somewhere. All right. As we're dismissed in prayer, this morning, I want to ask Brother Gene, if he will, to lead us in our benediction. God bless you.